We're up to the Gemara Daf Chof Tes on the base. And it's the first word on the line, just over the halfway mark, I would guess. The first words on the line, Bifnei Shnayim. Actually, sorry, it's the last word on the line, Hoida. Hoida Bifnei Shnayim. So we've been discussing in the sugya until this point. What would constitute a hoidoya? Do you have to appoint the edim? Who has to appoint the edim? Could there be cases of even where there was actually an admission, but we would say it's not really an admission because a person just wants to be seen as poor? What about, does a person want his children to be seen as poor? That we discussed yesterday. So we're up to the Gemara. It's the last word on the line. Hoida. Says the Gemara. Hoida bifnei shnayim. Maybe before we see this Gemara, let's just make a very brief introduction because very important introduction. If Reuven lends Shimon money, he can choose to do so in one of two ways. Either it's a verbal agreement, hey, I'm lending you $1,000 and you've got to pay back by whenever it may be, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Alternatively, the second way is you do it through a document, a shtar. The first one is called a milveh alper, the second one, a milveh bishtar. Now, what is the difference between the two? So if you remember, we discussed yesterday that essentially when you lend money to a borrower, the borrower's assets have a shibud on them, have a leaning. They are mashubud to pay back the halvor. So now let's make up some names over here. Reuven lends money to Shimon. Shimon is the borrower and they write a document. And on the document it says, I, Shimon, hereby admit that I borrowed from Reuven $100,000 to be paid back by next year. It's signed by two edim, that is a kosher v'yosha shtar, and it's got to be paid back by next year. All of Shimon is the borrower, all of his assets now become mashubud, which means that Reuven, come the time, can now go to Shimon, the borrower, and say, listen, you owe me money. Now, if he has cash, then he'll pay the money. And if not, then he can be goyver from the nechassim, because the nechassim are mashubud. Again, if he has cash, then it's his prerogative to say, excuse me, do not take my field or my house or my estate. I have cash. But if he doesn't have cash or metaltalin, movable objects, then he's going to be able to take from the estate because there is a shibud, a leaning on the estate. Now, we explained yesterday that where there is a shibud on the estate, that shibud will automatically be passed on to whoever ends up being the owner of that estate, whether it is a purchaser, a receiver, or an inheritor. Which means, therefore, if you buy karaka from somebody, the first thing you want to do is to find out, is there a shibud on this field? Because if there is, then you might find yourself in a very unfortunate situation. You're going to pay a lot of money for the field, and before you know it, some fellow called Reuven knocks on your door and says, I'm sorry to tell you, the field is now mine. What do you mean it's now yours? I bought it with my hard-earned cash. That's true, but unfortunately, you did not do your due diligence because you should have found out that there was a shibud on this field. You bought it from somebody called Shimon. Shimon borrowed money from me. He has got no cash to pay back. It's come to the due date, and I'm being goyver from the nechassim. The fact that in the interim, Shimon has sold it to you is your bad luck. Now, if we want to understand why indeed is it his bad luck, so the Gemara elsewhere, this is not so much our sugya, says that there is when you have a shtar with Edim, there is a coil. What does that mean? There's a coil, word gets out. How word gets out, maybe because it was written with the Edim and the Bezim, it was a whole big ceremony. Word gets out, there's a coil. So therefore, this unfortunate purchaser, not just did he not do his due diligence, but he should have heard the coil. So why did he nonetheless buy the field? Is he a crazy guy? No. Maybe he said, I'm willing to take the risk. Maybe Shimon said to him, listen, I'm going to sell it to you cheap. It's a gamble. You might have a terrific $50,000 field for a bargain price of $20,000, or you might lose the field. So it's a gamble. So it's not like he didn't know what he was letting himself into. There was a coil. So that only applies to a milveh bishtar. Again, a milveh bishtar, the lender has a right to claim from the assets of the borrower or the assets which have now moved on to a purchaser, to a receiver if he gave it as a gift, to an inheritor because there is a leaning on the field. None of this applies to a milveh alper. If it was a verbal agreement, both parties agree, there's no denying, there's no arguing, everybody agrees, yes, there was a loan, I don't deny it for a second. But because it was not documented, there is no halacha of claiming from the assets, only from cash or metaltalin, and if he doesn't have it, well, then he's stuck. Now, with that introduction in mind, look into the Gemara, bearing in mind that the borrower will not necessarily choose or want this loan to be documented in a shtar. He gains nothing. To the contrary, it's in the lender's interest, it's in the malveh's interest. He would very much like documentation. Why? Because then he's much more secure. He knows that either he can claim cash. If the borrower doesn't have cash, well, he's always got a second resort. He's always got a contingency plan. He can be goyver from the nechosim. But the loiver, the borrower, understandably, is not necessarily so excited to write a shtar. And this is going to be now the discussion, now Gemara. Under what circumstances can we assume that the borrower has given consent for a shtar to be written? That is the discussion of Gemara. So have a look at the Gemara now. Hoide bifnei shnayim. If the borrower admitted in front of two people, yes, I absolutely owe Reuven $100,000. Not only that, v'konu miyadoi. What does it mean, v'konu miyadoi? It wasn't just a verbal agreement. V'konu miyadoi, they actually did a kinyan, a maisa kinyan. We have discussed many, many, many times. The word kinyan is a very misunderstood word sometimes. Kinyan, even though the literal translation is acquisition, but it doesn't only have to be an acquisition. Kinyan is some sort of gesture or activity between two parties which solidifies their das. So kiddushin is a type of kinyan. If you sell your chometz, you would do a kinyan, etc., etc. So Shimon admits in front of two edim that yes, I hereby admit that I owe $100,000 to Reuven. Not only that, I'm prepared to do a kinyan to confirm what I've said. That's what it means, v'konu miyodin. Says the Gemara, koisvin. Then we will write a shtar to that effect. V'imlav ein koisvin. But if there was no kinyan, based on his mere admission, we will not write this loan in a shtar. Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, further up the Yomad, V'konu miyodoi. V'kanu miyodi. Then says Rashi, what happens? Koisvin shtar hoido'o. We will then write a document of admission. Va'afal pi sheloi omar. Even though he never actually said, quote unquote, kisvu. He never gave an instruction, please write this down in a shtar. He never said that. Doesn't matter. You would nonetheless write that. Why? De stam kinyan. Because an ordinary kinyan, unless specified otherwise, by virtue of the fact that he did a kinyan, leksiva oimid. That now stands to be written. So even though there was no clear verbal instruction, if they would not have done a kinyan, well, then you cannot write a shtar. Rashi explains. Vim lav, in the next Rashi, if you did not do a kinyan, ein koisvin, why? Ba'afal gav do omar luhu. Even though he said to these two edim, he said, quote unquote, atem edai, quote unquote, even though he formally, officially appointed the edim. Do you remember we said already that the mere admission will not indict him, because he can always say, I didn't mean it, or I just wanted people to think I was poor, etc., etc. But if you appointed edim, then there's no going back. There's no joking there. He clearly meant it seriously. So Rashi says, even if he formally appointed the two edim, and he said clearly, atem eda, you are the two edim, and therefore, v'chayev l'shalem lo, he will indeed be chayev to pay. He can't now claim it was a joke. Afilu hachi. Nonetheless, we don't write the shtar if he didn't do a kinyan. Why not? Because nichale, it is more comfortable for him a milva alper mi milva b'shtar. And if it's more comfortable for him for reasons we just explained, then we have no right to assume that he just meant, yes, please write it. If he did a kinyan, that is a gesture, that is a clear indication, not just that I owe the money, I admit I owe the money, but not only that, more so, I want it to be written in a shtar. But if he admitted in a very solid way, he said, atem edai, so he's clearly chayav to pay the money. But as long as he has not indicated in any way that he wants there to be a shtar, we have no right to assume that. Why? Says Rashi, because he's more comfortable with a milva al peh than a milva al shtar. As we explained before, remember, milva b'shtar is very serious stuff. He may end up having his field or his house taken away from him. So unless he clearly gives his agreement to writing a shtar, or does a kinyan to show that he has his agreement, we have no right to write a shtar. Now look back into the Gemara. All of this was hoide b'fnei shnayim. He admitted in front of two people, and as Rashi said, he even actually said the words atem edai. So the admission is non-reversible. He definitely owes the money. But with regard to a shtar, that's only if he did a kinyan. Says the Gemara now, what about bifnei shloisha v'loi konu miyodei? What happens if the admission was in front of three people? Why should three make a difference? We'll see in a second. What happens if it was in front of three people? V'loi konu miyodei, and he never did a kinyan. If he did a kinyan, well, obviously you write a shtar even without three. Two is enough. But here, it's true on the one hand he didn't do a kinyan, but he did it in front of three. So here we have machlekes. Rav Omar Koisvin. For Rav Asi Omar, ein Koisvin. It's machlekes. Now, what does it mean? Whose opinion needs explaining over here? L'chayre Rav. Why is Rav saying Koisvin? He didn't do a kinyan. Didn't you just tell me a moment ago that if he admits in front of two people but does not do a kinyan, then definitely ein Koisvin. So why is this case different just because it happens to be in front of three? So look at Rashi. Shloisha oson bezdin. So that's the answer. What is the significance of the magic number three? Two is an Edim. Three is a Bezdin. A Bezdin have an altogether different koyach. Two people are at best Edim. They don't have any koyach, as it were, halachic koyach. The only thing they could do is go to Bezdin and testify, and then the Bezdin will decide what to do. But once you have three, which now constitutes a Bezdin, we have a principle, which I'm sure we've mentioned in the past, and it's called Hefke Bezdin. What does it mean, Hefke Bezdin? Hefke Bezdin means that Bezdin not only have the koyach to pasken your chayev, your potter, but in fact, they have another koyach, which we learn from Psukim, to transfer money, to be mafkir money, to say that Reuven's money now belongs to Shimon. They actually have the right, we learn this from Sukkim, to decide ownership of assets or money. That's called Hefke Bezdin. So says Rashi, if it's in front of Shloisha, Oson Bezdin, you have just now made them into a Bezdin, Vehefkeiron Hefke, and their Hefke means their transfer, their jurisdiction over people's rishus takes effect. V'yecholim l'shanoisei, and they are therefore able to change this and upgrade this. Lasois milve bishtar. In the previous case of when it was just in front of two, so it was just two edim. So we have to go in accordance with the wishes of the loiver. And the loiver, the borrower, if he doesn't do a kinyan, so he hasn't indicated that he's happy for it to be a milval shtar, so you cannot write a shtar. But over here, I don't need the consent of the loiver because we're a bezdin, or we could do whatever we like.
Do they have to have kavana that they're based in? Or like...
Therefore, we can now upgrade this to a milva bishtar, the liois b'mok, and we can, as it were, take the place of the loiver. We can appoint a shliach. Right, do me a favor, please. Write the shtar. Really? Did the loiver stipulate in any way that he wants a shtar to be written? Did he say so? Did he do a kinyan to indicate so? No. So what right have you got to write a shtar? Because we're a bezdin. Had he only admitted in front of two, we would have been a group of Eidos. But he didn't. He did it in front of three. We're a Bezdin. Yes, Rav Nachum.
Do they have to have Kavanah that they're based in? Or
does it mean? So Rashi says, os on Bezdin. He has made them into a Bezdin. Presumably what Rashi means is, by virtue of the fact that for some reason he admitted in front of three people. Why did he assemble three people to admit in front of? Why would two not suffice? So it seems to me that he intended for them to be a Bezdin. Once they're a Bezdin, therefore they get the rights of the Bezdin. They can now dictate whose money, whose shtar, we're the boss. And we've decided, writing a shtar.
So it's specific to this case. It's not that three people together all of a sudden become a Bezdin.
No. Rashi says, os on, he has made them to a Bezdin. Oson, he has made them into Bezdin. Oson is an amalgamation of two words. Oso, oison. He has made them. Yerub Larry.
Aren't there different qualifications for Eidos and Dayan? So before you go ahead and say that this person now is a Dayan that can paskin, we don't know what qualifications there are. They are mumcha, they are not mumcha.
True. Yes, it might well have to conform to all halachas that we learned in the first perek. Of who could be considered a Dayan.
But he didn't. But they're not saying that. They're saying if he has three Edim, then that constitute a Bezdin. But that's not what I mean. All of a sudden,
Okay, so we'd have to examine this. What are the qualifications necessary in order to become a Bezdin? Either way, this is not clear cut. It's a machlokas. Rav says koisvin. Rav Asi says ein koisvin. So again, let's be clear. When he admitted in front of two people and did a kinyan, definitely Koisvin. No question about that. Everybody agrees. when he did an admission in front of three people, but did not do a kinyan, well, that's the machlokes. Kosvin or not, Rav says yes, Rav Asi says not. So the Gemara brings a story now. Says the Gemara, Hava Uvda. There was a story like this. Exactly the case that we've discussed actually happened. Somebody admitted in front of three people, but did not do a kinyan. Now, if you would ask Rav, what's the halacha? Didn't Rav say 5 seconds ago, Kosvin? I hold, you got to write a shtar, or you can write a shtar, milva b'shtar. And yet, says the Gemara, v'chosh le'rav l'hod Rav Asi. In the final analysis, Rav was actually choshesh, means he was concerned with the opinion of Rav Asi, and therefore couldn't bring himself to write the shtar. So even though Rav says, if you would ask me personally, I actually maintain that you write a shtar, but I am aware that there is opposing opinion, and I'm choshesh for that opinion. Very important halacha. If you ask people, what is electricity on Shabbos? If you turn on a light, if you turn on a fan on Shabbos, is that a malacha derabonon? Or melacha doiraisa. So people will tell you quite correctly, well, the Chazon Ish famously claimed that it's a melacha doiraisa. And Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, however, claimed it's a melacha derabbanon. Now, technically, that's true. Practically, it's not true. Why not? Because even Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who maintained that electricity is a derabbanon, was choshesh for the opinion of the Chazon Ish, and told people, halacha lemaisa, you should consider it a deraisa. Even though he maintained that it was a drabonon and he disagreed with the Chazon Ish, but he did not overturn the opinion, and he said quite clearly, this is printed in a number of places, he was the Rosh Hashiva in the famous yeshiva in Bayit Vegan, Koil Torah, and he told the Bocharim, we have to consider electricity a deraisa. You may well ask, what's the difference whether it's deraisa or drabonon? I mean, it's also either way. That's not true. There could be differences. Asking a goy, would that be mutter? Is it just a shvus to shvus? Is a shvus deraisa? Not going to be our discussion now. But either way, there does exist a concept that even though there could be a machloikas lahalocha, but one party says, I must admit, even though I disagree with you, but I'm prepared to be choshesh for your opinion. And that's exactly what happened over here. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Ada Ba'ahava. This is a continuation. Ha Oidisa. Now, what's an Odisa? Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Oidisa. Rashi says, is a shta hoidoya befnei shloisha. Isn't that just the case that we've been dealing with? It's a shtar hoidoya. That in front of three people with no kinyan. Says Rashi, says the Gemara, Zimnin kosvinon. The Zimnin loy kosvinon. Sometimes we would write it and sometimes not. So this will address from Nachum Yoshaila. Before we saw Machlokas, either Kosvin or Ein Kosvin, all of a sudden we're seeing a new opinion that actually it depends. Sometimes we would write it and sometimes we would not. What does it depend on? Says the Gemara, Zimnin Kosvinon, Vizimnin Loi Kosvinon. Kanifi Vyosvi. If these three had already been assembled and were sitting down anyway, so the one who admitted in front of them did not go out of his way to assemble them as a bezdin, the three of them happened to be sitting together anyway. Then loy kasvinon, then you would not write a shtar. But Kanfinu Ihu, but if he was the one who assembled them, then Kasvinon, which presumably Reb Nachum would be for reasons that you mentioned before, did he intend to make them a Bezdin? Well, if there were three people who just happened to be sitting there anyway, he didn't actively assemble them. So the fact there were three there was coincidental. He did not intend to make them a Bezdin. Have a look at Rashi. Knifi v'yosvi. Shloisha shehoyu yoishvin. If the three were sitting there anyway, ubo v'hoydoloi bifnehem. And he now comes and admits in front of them, again, in front of the three who were sitting there anyway, Hoyil, since Veloy Zimnun, he did not prepare them, the Kibtzum, and gather them, Blekach, Loinasu, Bezdin. Therefore, they're not considered a Bezdin, Elo Edim, rather Edim. We can have a group of three Edim. The fact that they happen to be three and could, in theory, have been a Bezdin is irrelevant. I didn't make them into a Bezdin because they were sitting there anyway. De Dilma Eloi have a tray, because maybe even had there only been two people there, he would have been happy. Have a Moidele Kamai, who he would have admitted in front of them as well. Veloi Hamahada Acha Bezdin, he wouldn't have necessarily looked for a Bezdin. Remember, we're trying to enter the mindset of this admitter. What did he think? Do we have circumstantial evidence that seems to prove that he must have meant them to be a Bezdin? No. We don't have that proof. The fact that he admitted in front of three was because there happened to be three people there, but maybe had there been only two, he would have been more than happy to admit in front of them as well and would not have looked for the third. Says Rashi, but Konfinu Ihu. If he was the one who gathered them, then Kasvinon, says Rashi, Demida Konif Tlosa, because he went out of his way to gather three people, Daite Abedina. Then we can say we have clear proof that he must have meant to appoint them formally as a Bezdin. So therefore, this really is a third opinion. The first two opinions was, Rav says, Koisvin. Ravasi says, Ein Koisvin. And now we have the third opinion. Who is it? Rav Adur, who says, it depends. Depends if he gathered them or they were sitting there anyway. Have a look at the Gemara one more line. Rava Omar, now a fourth opinion. Rava says, Afilu Konfinu Ihu. Even if he did himself gather them, they were not merely happening to be sitting there anyway. He was the one who gathered them. So Rav Adur said, oh, well, that's a clear indication he meant to make them a Bezdin. No. Loi kosvinon. You would still not write a shtar. Ad, until such point, the Omar lehu, until he said, quote, unquote, Hava olai dayoni. So it's not enough to admit in front of three. It's not enough to actually assemble the three. You have to actually appoint the Dayonim and formally announce your Dayonim. That's the fourth opinion, but there is, Rabbeisai, a fifth opinion. And with this, we conclude. Says the Gemara, Ma Baravashi Omar, Afilu Omar Have Olai Dayoni, quote unquote. Even if he says those three words, you should be my Dayonim. Well, surely you can't get clearer than that. No, loikasvinon. They still do not constitute a Bezdin. Why not? He said, he gathered them. He said, you are the Dayonim. What more do you want? Ad, until such point, de kaboi duchta v'sholchi umazamni lei. Rabbi Yosef, how do they translate that?
Unless they establish a seat of justice and send a summons to the debtor to appear in court.
Right. In other words, there is a derech. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says the kaboi duchta kederech hadayonim. If you happen to bump into three people in the street and said, "Okay, you're the dayonim," so Ma'abar Rashi says, "Not enough. There's a derech. There's a way of doing things." So the fact that you assemble them and you formally said to them, "I want you to be the dayonim," that's still not enough. They've got to establish a place. They've got to send a formal summons to the Malva, and only then would we say, yes, that constitutes a Bezdin. And now they can write a shtar, even though the borrower never clearly said, write a shtar.
Rabbi, so don't...
we have together now five different opinions. According to Rav, the minute it's done in front of three people, you write a shtar. Ravasi said, no, you don't. Third opinion was, it depends on, did he gather them or they gathered anyway? Fourth opinion is, no, it's not enough. You've got to appoint them as dayonim. Fifth opinion, and that's also not enough. You've got to formally establish a place, as it were, like a mokum of a bezdin. They've got to send a summons in the normal derech, and only then will that constitute a proper bezdin, and now they can write a shtar.
In dinei momonos, don't both parties have to agree on the dayonim?
Yes.
So how does this work?
Because that's only when there's a machloikas between two tzedakim. Here there's no machloikas. The loiva admits he owes the money. The question is only, do Bezdin have a right to because of this shtar? We need two parties. One is a machloikas, one says chayev, one says potter. We need to paskin in favor of one or the other. This is not in favor of one or the other. Bezdin have that right to because of the shtar. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Be'ezus Hashem, we'll resume next week. I think next week is the last full week of Zman. The week after that is a half week. So, Mr. Hashem, we still have some time before end of Zman. Rabbi, can you-